This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Personal income per capita in North Carolina is lower than the national average. That's according to new numbers out yesterday from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. So why is this state lagging in personal income? All the while, the unemployment numbers are improving. Now that raises the question, what do they reflect? What kinds of jobs are North Carolinians taking? High-wage jobs are vanishing, and so many in the workforce are now taking lower-wage positions. Triangle Business Journal reporter Jason DeBruin's been following the stories, and he joins us now. Welcome back, Jason. Good to see you.
Hi, Frank. Nice to see you, too.
Let's start with these new numbers on income. You know, what are they? Where do we stand? And why are we below average?
Sure. So I won't try to flood you with numbers, but I do want to lay the table. In 2014, the per capita income in North Carolina was just a tick under $40,000. So the average person had a total income of just under 40 grand. That's an increase of 2.5% from 2013, so not bad. But compare that to the national average increase, which was 3%. So we're lagging the national average there. Also, that 40,000 number ranks us 38th of the 50 states. So we're definitely in that lower third. And then even one more number, going from 2012 to 2013, so just exactly a year ago, our increase was only 0.4%, so less than one half of 1%. Nationally, that figure was 1.3%. So in the past 2 years, if you add them together, we really have lagged the national average and are, again, in that bottom third in terms of total personal income.
And what is personal income? What does that encompass?
It tries to encompass everything. So it's more than just wages and salaries, although wages and salaries do make up a large portion of that. But, for example, that includes if you get dividends on any stock holdings or if you own rental income if you own rental property and income you get off that rent. It could even include, for example, if you're, 25 years old and you babysit somebody and you get $25, that might also be included. So at its core, the BEA tries to measure sort of your total income as a person, and then that's what this number is.
All right, so we're behind the national average, and yet unemployment is falling. Employment, more people are working these days than they have been in recent years. So what's going on there?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Our unemployment rate is coming down and our total employment is going up. These are all very good numbers. But the problem is that we're seeing is that they just aren't these high-wage jobs. You can look at a very clear trend. We lost many high- and middle-wage jobs since about 2008, obviously, since the recession. And since about 2010, 11, when we started adding jobs back, we have added many more in sort of that low wage third, a few in the middle wage, and very little in the high wage thirds. So we really did lose many high wage jobs, 5-6 years ago, and have not added those high wage jobs back. Instead, added only low wage jobs.
Now this is interesting. So if you focused only on the unemployment numbers, which, as you say, are good, you'd start to feel pretty confident about your future. But the fact that we're falling behind in income has a kind of multiplier effect going out, right?
Oh no, without question. I mean, it reduces your buying power, so there's less money that's circulating in an economy, right? You're less likely to go to the movies. You're less likely to go out to eat because you have less disposable income. Of course, inflation isn't slowing down at all, so it's going to cost you more to buy a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. And if our wages aren't keeping up with the national averages, then of course we're spending a larger portion of our total income on the necessities, which again leaves just less money circulating in the economy. Of course, it also means that we're paying less in taxes. So the government is generating less money on the whole, which means they have less money to provide services to everyone in the state. And it's just sort of I don't want to say a downward spiral because we are going in the right direction, but it's more of a stagnation problem versus the benefits that you would get with if you were growing income at a higher rate.
Right. And I guess we have to point to the national trend, too. Overall, the business economy is growing, right? GDP is up. And we're seeing, if you take a look at Wall Street, things are growing. So businesses are doing well. They just seem not to be adding jobs in North Carolina, or at least the high-wage jobs.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Especially the high-wage jobs. Again, let me be clear. We are adding jobs in North Carolina. That's definitely happening. But they are primarily those low-wage jobs. You hit the nail on the head. Nationally, companies are reporting record profits again. I mean, the stock market is through the roof. Things are sort of chugging along pretty well from a corporate perspective. That does not seem to have trickled down to the workforce just yet. North Carolina isn't alone in this trend of adding low-wage workers versus high-wage workers. Nationally, we're seeing the same thing. It certainly is something that's happening across the country.
So who are the winners? I mean, where are states that where wages are at or above the national average, and what is it about those states that makes them sort of above the line?
It sort of is the states up in the Northeast that add higher wages. You know, some of this might be explained a little bit in cost of living. It certainly is cheaper to live down here than it is up, say, in Boston or New York. So I think you have to factor that in as well. But the historic trends sort of are playing out is that up in the Northeast, you're having people make more money. Out West, say California area, you're having people make more money. But here in the Southeast, it's less. You know, I can give you another number. The BEA breaks out 8 different economic regions, and the Southeast, which of course North Carolina is included in that, the Southeast ranks dead last among those 8 regions in terms of per capita income. So we make less here than anywhere else in the country.
So I guess one of the questions you have to ask is, what is it about the environment and what is it about public policy that is either attracting or perhaps a drag on this business? Now, you know, a couple of years ago, we had a corporate income tax reduction. The hope was that this would attract jobs, attract corporate investment, and bring in those high-wage jobs. We had the tax cut. I guess we haven't seen the jobs follow yet.
Yet, and I do think it's fair to say yet, because some of this stuff takes a long time. You know, MetLife did locate here or relocate here about a year ago, whenever that was. And so that's a good example that a lot of politicians point to as a success. But, you know, for every MetLife, we've also had a GlaxoSmithKline or a Hospira that's laid off a lot of workers here. I mean, GSK at the end of last year laid off 900 workers or announced that they would lay off 900. And then just earlier this week, they announced that they would lay off another 150 workers. You know, when we're seeing this in other places, Chiquita, you and I talked about this before the show, Chiquita is leaving Charlotte. You know, I mean, we're seeing on the net that companies seem to be laying off more workers even now than they seem to be adding them here.
And again, they're being replaced, not job for job, but sort of in the overall picture by lower wage work. So what are these jobs? What are the lower wage work? What is that work?
So, I mean, you have the obvious ones like the food service, but generally speaking, we seem to be shifting as an economy from one that has been goods producing to one that's largely services providing. You can sort of see this in a large line graph, if you will, starting at about 2007. Before that, the line certainly has been going down for goods producing, but then back in, you know, 2008, 2009, it sort of plummeted, and then as it sort of bounced across the bottom. Services providing jobs, on the other hand, took a bit of a hit, but, you know, rebounded fairly quickly and have since, you know, well surpassed where we were back in 2008. So we certainly have shifted from a goods producing economy to one that is more services providing.
We're talking about North Carolina's low ranking in personal income today on The State of Things. Jason DeBruin is with me, a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. So, you know, public policy obviously has a lot to do with it, as you suggested, regionally. I mean, is there anything that you can do in North Carolina to make that change, or are we sort of a product of this victim, of this area and this region?
Well, it's interesting. So the Secretary of Commerce, John Scafarla, has been very passionately arguing here recently that we should increase the JDIG grant program, and this the Jobs Development Investment Grant program. And what it does is it literally gives tax incentive to companies to locate here. And he makes a very passionate argument that we need these tax incentives to offer to companies so that they will come here. And it's a good program because, again, this to make the secretary's argument, the company that locates here gets a tax incentive only if they add jobs. So if you promise that you're going to add 100 jobs, you add only 75, well, then you don't get 100% of the benefit we promised you. You get 75% of the benefit. Now, what has happened is the JDIG fund has run completely empty. It's literally at zero. So if companies want to locate here and the Secretary of Commerce says, we'd love to have you and we want to, you know, offer you some tax incentive, he literally cannot. That's going to play out on Jones Street this summer. Those who are against expanding the program, and they're particularly in the Senate, they argue that we shouldn't just give free money to companies. We should instead use that tax money to improve our community college system, to improve our roads, to make us a better, more friendly, more business-friendly state so that we don't have to give companies free money to come here. They're just going to want to come here on their own.
Yeah, but it's interesting to think about the logic. I mean, you give them a free, in other words, you lower taxes without any strings attached. You simply lower corporate taxes with no strings. And then when you say, well, let's attach it to jobs, you get a different answer. So that policy question is going to be playing out, and those questions will be answered, asked on Jones Street. But as you also suggested, a job isn't a job. So are those incentives tied to the kind of job you're offering?
They are, and I'm sorry I don't have that information right in front of me, but they are very specific to wages. And actually, you'll see this with the Commerce Department. Whenever a new company relocates here or expands here, if you will, the Commerce Department is very clear about, we have this rubric that if you add jobs at this income level, then you get this tax incentive. If you add them at that level, you get a higher or lower, whatever it is.
And as you suggest, there is a multiplier effect. So it's not dollar for dollar that you're expecting, first of all, higher tax returns, more spending, that's sales tax, and then there's income tax, right, and then there's corporate tax, and it all becomes part of the picture, and it gets hopefully re-spent in the state of North Carolina. Jason, always a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks. Love being here.
Jason DeBruin, a reporter with the Triangle Business Journal. You can find links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a local vocalist blends music and literature in a new stage production. We'll get a preview on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.